Good morning and welcome to all. Today we are going to explore one of the fascinating and perplexing debates that took place during the era of the second Beis Hamikdash between a group known as the Baitusim or the Tzedukim, the Sadducees or the Baitusim, and the Chazal, the sages. The rabbis, also often known as the Purushim, as the Pharisees, as we will see. It's a debate that relates directly to the era that we are presently in, which is the period of the counting of the Omer Sefiras HaOmer. Let's look at the origin of this debate. Open up your source sheets. Source number one, a pasuk in Parshas Emor, Perik Chav Gimel Pasuk Yud. Hashem tells Moshe to speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Ki savoyu ala oretz asher ani noisim lechem uktzartem eschitzira, you'll come to the land, to Eretz Yisrael, you will reap its harvest by aveisim es oimer reishis chtzirchem ala koyin ve'enif es oimer lefnei Hashem l'rtzoichem, mimacharas ha-shabas yinifenu ha-koyin. The beginning of the new produce, the beginning of the new crop that grows, bring an oimer, which is a certain measurement, as we will see, of flour, barley flour, we have a tradition, bring it to the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, and he will lift it up in the presence of God. When? Mimacharas HaShabbos, the morrow, the day after Shabbos. And then the pasuk says, a famous pasuk, everybody knows this, Svartim lechem mimacharas haShabbos, miyoyim aviyachem esoymer atnufa shever Shabbos esprimis tiyana. And from that day, the day that you bring this offering, this oymer, this amount of flour from the new produce, you should start counting from the day after Shabbos, the day that you bring this oymer, 7 complete weeks. Ad mimacharas haShabbos hashvi is tisfur chamishim yoyim. Until after the 7th week, you should count 50 days, v'kraft mincha chadash al Hashem, and then you bring another offering, an offering of a mincha, which is the holiday of Shavuos, on the 50th day after you counted the 7 complete weeks. Now, what is of course perplexing in these psukim is, there's no date. It says, v'macharas ha-Shabbos, the day after Shabbos. But there are 52 Shabbosim in a year. So what is the day? Does it mean every single Sunday you have to bring an Omer and then count? What is the meaning of this? Comes the Mishnah in Masechta Menachos, Daf Samach Hei Amar Aleph. The Mishnah, this Masechta, the 6th Perek of Menachos, which is dedicated to the Karban Omer, to this offering that was brought from the new produce. Sub the Mishnah. Ketzad Heino Yisin. How did they bring this offering? What was the procedure? Shluchei Beis Din Yotzi Me'erev Yom Tov. Messengers of Beis Din of the Jewish Supreme Court would go out Erev Yom Tov, Erev Pesach. V'oisin oisin krichos b'mechuba l'kark k'tashen oich l'ktzer. They would go to a field of barley and they would make bundles. When it was still, the stalks were still connected to the ground, they would tie them so it should be easier to harvest, easier to cut. All the cities in close proximity to the field from which they would cut the barley would gather so that there should be a lot of fanfare when they're harvesting the barley. Once night fell. Which night? As we'll see, night is the first night, Mitzoy, of the first day of Pesach. The first night of Chol HaMoed. In Eretz Yisrael, there's one day Pesach, of course. So this is the night after the first day of Pesach. It's nighttime. Oymer lahen, the one who's cutting, turns to them, to the leaders of Beis Din, and he says, Bo HaShemesh. Has the sun set? Oymer hein. He says, yeah. Bo HaShemesh. Has the sun set? Oymer hein. Hein, oymer hein. Magel zub, should I use this sickle? Oymer hein, yeah. Magel zub. Should I use this sickle? I'm a hain, yeah. Kupazoo! Should I use this basket to put in the grain? I'm a hain, yeah. Kupazoo, this basket? I'm a hain, yeah. B'Shabbos? What if it's Shabbos? Meaning the first day of Pesach was Friday. So the harvesting of the barley is when? Friday night, which is Shabbos. Of course, usually harvesting on Shabbos, cutting, detaching something that's connected to the ground on Shabbos, is one of the 39 labors forbidden on Shabbos. But this is Shabbos, and they would still harvest it. They would still cut. Oymalen, he says, Shabbos zoo. This Shabbos, amahein, yeah. Shabbos zoo, amahein, yeah. Ektur, should I cut? They might be like, sorry, cut. Ektur, should I cut? They might be like, sorry, cut. Shalosh pa'amim al kol davar v'davar. They might be like, hein. Each thing, don't think he asked it twice. He asked it three times. We're just saying it twice. And they answered him yes three times on every item. Read the Mishnah kol kach normally. What's the point of all of this? It's dark. What is this? Mipnei ha-baitusim. Because there was a group of baitusim shayu-oimrim, they used to say, ein k'tziras ha-oimrim b'mitzah yamtif. You're not allowed to cut the barley that's going to be used for the oimer on mitzah yamtif if it's Shabbos. It's absolutely forbidden. It's a biblical prohibition. You're not allowed to cut. What do you mean? Yeah, it says b'macharas ha-shabbos. What b'macharas ha-shabbos? The Gemara will explain. But this was their philosophy. And therefore, in order to demonstrate the fallacy and the error of their position, the Chazal instituted not only to go cut it quietly, and not only to cut it with a few people, but to do it with tremendous fanfare and commotion, to have many people there, and everything is repeated again and again and again in order to uproot from the Jewish consciousness the philosophy and the position of the Baitus. Zog the Gemara, says the Gemara story. Tana Rabbanan, I'll just say that. Is it the speakers or is it me? Maybe I scream too loud. Okay. Thank you. Tana Rabbana. The rabbis have learned. Elain Yoimaya the Loyli his Ano Bahoin umiktsasun the Loyla Misput Bahoin. These are the days when one should not fast and some of them not even perform a eulogy. Which days? These are quotes from a sefer known as Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus is a very interesting book. It's a compilation of miracles and great events that happened during the era of the second Beis Hamikdash and were celebrated then as many holidays. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, Batla Megillas Tainus. All those holidays are not celebrated anymore, besides for two. Chanukah and Purim. All the other holidays are gone. But yet, we have the Megillas Tainus, and we could see various milestones in Jewish history during Bayis Sheni, which were celebrated, if only not fasting then, no eulogizing. Two of those holidays happen in the month of Nisan. When, says the Gemara, Medesh Yarchid Nisan Atam Neyebe, from Rish Chodesh till the eighth day of Nisan was a Yom Tov. Itukim Tmida, the Korban Tamid, it was established. The Loyla Mispah, therefore one cannot eulogize, certainly not fast. And from the 8th of Nisan till the end of Pesach was another mini holiday when you don't eulogize because the holiday of Shavuos was established. What does it mean that these two things were established? What happened from the first day of Nisan until the eighth day? That the carbon comment was established, the loyla misfit, so we don't eulogize and certainly we don't fast. The Sadducees used to say, Yachid misnadiv umevi tamid. An individual Jew can make a contribution and bring the carbon tamid. Every morning at dusk they would bring a sheep. In the morning and in the afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash, which was the Karban Tamid, it was a communal offering every single day, 365 days a year. What was used to purchase the sheep? The fund known as Trumas Halishka, a communal fund that was comprised from all the half shekels that every adult Jewish male was obligated to give once a year as a donation for the Beis HaMikdash. By Rish Chodesh Nisan, they would start using the new money for the communal fund. A person comes and says, I'm making my own contribution for today's Karban Tamid. You know, I like Sunday's Karban Tamid. Here is my sheep. The Tzedukim said it's no problem. My drosh. What was their source? A pasuk in Pinchas, we say it every day. Esakeves ha'echad taseh ha'boyke. In the singular, you bring the sheep, one sheep in the morning and one sheep in the afternoon. It's about the individual. Maya Hadru, what did the Chazal respond? The next pasuk, Eskarboni Lachmi, actually a previous pasuk, Eskarboni Lachmi Leishai, Tishmeru Lachmi Libimayadai. Tishmeru is in the plural, not Tishmer, but Tishmeru. All of you as a community should bring it. All of the sheep should be brought, should be purchased from the fund known as Trumas Halishka, which was the communal fund that came from the money of all of the Jewish people, not from an individual bank account. That's the holiday. So from the 1st of Nisan till the 8th of Nisan, they debated this. On the 8th of Nisan, it was a long debate. They were triumphant. It became a mini holiday during Bayis Sheni. The Karban Tamid, the truth about the Karban Tamid was established. An individual cannot contribute. That's holiday number one. And then there was holiday number two. Mitamnaye Beivat Soif Mayada Itoisuf Chagat the Shavuah Ida Loila Mispa. From the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach, there was another debate, and this had to do with the holiday of Shavuos. Shahoyu Batusin, I mean the Batusin said, Atzeres Acher Shabbos. Shavuos is always on Sunday. It's always the day after Shabbos. Nitvalahem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Jewish leader at the last stages of Bayis Sheni, which was destroyed in the year 70 after the Common Era. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the leader, the president of the Sanhedrin at the time. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gets into a dialogue with them. V'amalem, he says, Shaitim, fools, minayim lachem. What's your source that Shavuos is always on a Sunday? V'lohoya adam echad shayim ishtivay. Nobody could respond. Chutz mizakin echad was an old man, shayim efatbet kenegda, who was taunting Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'amar, and he tells Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, let me explain it to you. Moshe Rabbeinu oyev Yisrael haya. Moshe Rabbeinu was a lover of the Jewish people. V'yedeya he knew atzeres yayim echadu. At Shavuos is only one day. Pesach is 7 days. Sukkot is 8 days. Shavuos is one day. Vosar Atam does it have to give people one day off? Just to get into the mood of relaxation, you need a couple of days. What's with the Chol HaMoed trips? What's with the serenity? It's not going to happen. Amad v'tikna achar Shabbos. So Moshe makes sure that Shavuos is on Sunday. What we call a weekend in America. He wanted to give them a weekend. Just to give them one day, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, Grace of Gedula. How can you go away to the country? How can you go away to a hotel? How can you go away to the ocean? One day you're coming in, you're coming back. Epis, a weekend. I hear you. This is what the Baitus is. Moshe made the keys for the Jewish people. What, are you going to eat milk? You can eat cheesecake one day? It's not going to do anything for you. If you have 2 days of cheesecake, now you have a Yom Tov, Shabbos and Sunday. Fine, you leave Friday early. The Mahadra leave Thursday early. If it's good, and then you come back Monday. You can make it Tuesday. It's not better. But this was the point of the Baitus. Koral of Mikrazeh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responds to this man with this boss. Says in Devarim. Achad asa yoy mechoyer of derech harseir. Moshe speaks to the Jewish people and he says, from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, right near Eretz Yisrael, through Mount Seir takes 11 days. In other words, you could have been in Eretz Yisrael in 11 days. Instead, as a result of what happened with the spies, you ended up in the desert for 40 years. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, listen to these words. V'imoshe Rabbeinu oyev Yisrael hayalama yichirum b'midbar abayim shana. If Moshe Rabbeinu was such a lover of the Jewish people, why did he keep them stranded in the desert for 40 years? This is Avos Yisrael. He cares about a 2-day holiday so you can have a long, extended, exciting weekend, and then he keeps them in the Midbar for 40 years. Amaloi, this Baitusi, this old man says, Rebbe, Bekacha Kapitreni, with these words you get rid of me. Amaloi, he says, Shoite, fool, for the second time. Our wholesome Torah should not be like the idle chatter of you people. One pasuk says Tisperu Chamishim Yoyim should count 50 days. Another pasuk says Sheva Shabbosos Mimistiyanu should count 7 weeks. In Parshas Emor, which we just read earlier, Haketzad, why these two different pesukim, 50 days, 7 weeks? Kan beYom Tov Shechaliyas B'Shabbos, kan beYom Tov Shechaliyas B'Emtsa Shabbos. It depends. If Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so you start counting the Omer on Sunday, so you have 7 complete weeks. From Sunday to Shabbos is a week. But what happens if the first day of Pesach falls out in the middle of the week? So you start counting the Omer the next day, it may be a Wednesday, it may be a Monday, maybe a Tuesday, etc. So then, it's Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you count 49 days till the 50th day. And then the Gemara for a blot, Samachei Amad Beis, Samachvav Amad Aleph, brings many, many different proofs from various of the sages to prove that Mimacharas HaShabbos does not mean the day after Shabbos Sunday, but it means the day after the first day of Pesach. In other words, the first day of Pesach is defined as Shabbos. Mimacharas HaShabbos is the next day after Pesach. The 16th day of Nisan is the day you start counting. It's the day that the Karban Omer was brought. This was the Shitta of the Chazan. Of course, this has ramifications when Shavuos is. Because if you start counting the Omer always on Sunday, you count 7 weeks, so the 49th day, 7 times 7, the 49th day is going to be Shabbos, and Shavuos is always going to be on a Sunday. This was the view of the Baitusim and the Tzedukim. Mimacharas HaShabbos means you start counting on a Sunday. Therefore, you finish counting on Shabbos 7 weeks later. Shavuos is always Sunday because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted an exciting long weekend for Shavuos. Came the Chazal and said that's not the case. Sometimes that may happen, as this year. If Pesach, the first day of Pesach is on Shabbos, you start counting the Omer Mitzray Shabbos on Sunday. That's when the Karban Omer was brought. And then your Shavuos will be on Sunday. But many years, that's not the case. If Pesach is the middle of the week, you start counting the day after Pesach, meaning the first day of Chol HaMoed, and hence Shavuos will not be on a Sunday. Shavuos will be on the 50th day from that count, whichever day of the week that may be. This is the Gemara in Masechta Menachos. Let's see one other proof in the Gemara there. There's many, but I quoted one. Reb Yosi Yomer, Mimacharas HaShabbos, Mimacharas Yom Tov. It means the day after Yom Tov. Maybe it means after Shabbos, Shabbos Bereshis, meaning Shabbos Saturday. Does it give which Shabbos? Does it give a time? It says, Mimacharas HaShabbos, the middle of Pesach. According to you, that it means Shabbos, the whole year is filled with Shabbos. You have more than 50 Shabbos. So figure out which Shabbos, which Sunday do we have to bring the Karban Omer? I don't know. So it can't mean Mimacharas HaShabbos. It's too cryptic. It's too ambiguous. It doesn't make sense. You're not telling me anything. Mimacharas HaShabbos. Thank you. It must have a meaning. I'm telling you, Mimacharas HaShabbos means Yom Tov. Which Yom Tov? The Yom Tov that we've been addressing in Parshas Emor right before, the Yom Tov Pesach. The day after Yom Tov, the first day of Chol HaMoed, you bring the Karban Omer. This was Reb Yossi's proof. Reb Yossi ben Zakkai had his proof. Reb Yossi had his proof. Many others had other proofs in the Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchis Tmidin Umusaf in Perek Zayin gives us a summation of the view of Chazal. Says the Rambam, "B'yoyim sheni shal Pesach shoyim shishasa b'nissan." On the 16th day of Nissan, the second day of Pesach. In addition to the musaf of every day of Pesach, you offer a special sheep together with a portion of barley flour. It's a communal offering. It has a permanent time. Therefore, it overrides Shabbos. It overrides impurity, meaning even on Shabbos, you can do the labors that are involved in order to bring this card. The mitzvah is to cut it at night, the night of the 16th, the night before you bring it. I don't care if it's weekday or even Shabbos. You could cut it all night, and even if you cut it by day, but the evidence kosher, this has ramifications for Sfiras HaOmer. If you forgot to count at night, could you count during the day, there's a machloikis. It depends on this. If you say b'diyevid, if they could cut the omer by day, it was kosher, so you could count. You could count b'diyevid by day. The kol, and then the Rambam discusses all the fanfare that was involved in harvesting the omer. The kol kachlama. Why was this done? And here is how he phrases the debate. There were those people who made a mistake and they left Klal Yisrael. They left the community of Israel during the second Beis HaMikdash. Shehei Noimin, they say, Shezeh Shenema Batoyre Mimacharas HaShabbos Hu Shabbos Bereshit. Mimacharas HaShabbos, according to them, means Sunday. But the sages had an oral tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu that it doesn't mean Shabbos, it means the Shabbos which is Yom Tov, the day of rest which is Yom Tov, the first day of Pesach. And this is what the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Jewish judges saw in every single generation from the beginning. They used to wave the Omer on the 16th day of Nisan, weekday Shabbos, not necessarily on Sunday. Sometimes on Sunday, often not. So this is something that happened every year. Everyone saw it. It was consistent. There was no question about it. Even though in the Torah it doesn't say clearly, Mimacharas Yom Tov, it says Mimacharas HaShabbos. And then the Rambam gives his own proof. A very interesting proof that's not brought in Gemara Menachos, but I think there's already a source for it in the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. The Torah says, till this day of Tezai and Nisan, when you bring the carbon, you're not allowed to eat the grain of the new produce. Bread, roasted kernels, plump kernels. Don't eat till this day what we call Chadash. And let's understand what used to happen. They used to go to the... There's a season, it's a new season, spring has arrived. After a bitter and brutal winter, spring at last has arrived. There was music in the air, as Hashirim describes, the birds are chirping, everything comes back to life. And of course there's a new harvest that's growing in the fields because of the spring. But wait, before you harvest your new grain and you start baking your breads and your cakes and your wafers and your cookies, etc., there had to be brought a carbon from the new grain. From barley. So they used to go out the first night after Pesach, and they used to cut barley grain. Then they would bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and the next day, in the morning of Chol HaMoed, they would grind the barley into flour, into fine flour. And they would bring the measurement of an oimer. That's why it's called Sfiras HaOimer, carbon oimer. What is an oimer? An oimer is a certain dry measure, a tenth of an ephah, the Pasuk says. How much is a tenth of an ephah? It's flour in the volume of 43.2 eggs. The volume of 43.2 eggs, that's the volume of flour. In today's measurements, it's anywhere between 86 ounces of flour and 153 ounces of flour. There are contemporary debates about how to convert the rabbinic measurements into contemporary measurements. So, Asiris Ha'efa on Omer, Mem Gimel V'Chaymash Beit says anywhere between 86 ounces and 153 ounces. Depends the Shirim of Reb Chaim Na, the Shirim of the Chazon Ish. And thus, this is how much flour they offered. The Kohen would lift it up in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a koimetz, as in every mincha, part of the flour was burnt on the altar, the rest was eaten by the koyanim, and the moment that happened, everyone now can go home, harvest their grain, eat their new crop, eat their new produce, and enjoy it. The chadash, what's called the new. And that's the day that you start counting with Sfartim Lechem Imachar HaSoimer. I'm elaborating on this because people always say Sfiras HaOimer. When you ask somebody, what's the Oimer? Can you tell me what this Oimer is? It's often that people don't know, so I think it's important always to know the basics before we get to step two. So here is now the Rambam's proof. Till you bring this carbon, you're not allowed to eat the new produce. Did you shut off the heat? Did you figure out how to shut it off? You didn't, probably. Huh?
I shut it off before, but then I had a cold, so I couldn't
back on. We just said that spring arrived after a brutal winter. Okay, Zog the Rambam. V'nemar des apostik in Yehoshua perik hei. V'yoichlu me'avur ha'aretz mimacharas ha'pesach
Matzahs v'kaloi. The Jews come into Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yehoshua ben Nun of Joshua, 30 days after Moshe Rabbeinu's passing, and the first Pesach they celebrate in Eretz Yisrael, the mon stops, and they eat the day, the morrow after Pesach, matzahs, and roasted kernels from the grain of Eretz Yisrael. V'im toima, says the Rambam, one second, when could they start eating? A day after Pesach, clear Pesach in Yeshua. Why me machir as a Pesach? Why not the first day of Pesach? Because you're not allowed to eat it the first day of Pesach, right? You're only allowed to eat the first day of Pesach, the old crop, the old produce that took root before you brought last year's Karban Omer. But the new grain and the new produce that was planted or took root after the Karban Omer, you have to wait. So they had to wait till machir as a Pesach. V'im taimar, maybe you'll say, shoyse a Pesach, b'shabbos ira. Maybe that Pesach happened on Shabbos. So therefore, it was b'macharas ha-Shabbos. It was on Sunday. K'moyshet dimu ha-tipshet. As the fools, our good friends, the fools of Masechta Menachos, have always said, that's what happened. So that's why it was b'macharas ha-Pesach. He'ech tolo ha-kosav heter achilosom. L'chadosh b'davar she'ini ha-ikir. V'lo yasibe ela nikre nikre. Why then would the Pesach associate the permissibility to eat the new grain and associate it with something that is not essential, it's not vital, it's only circumstantial? The fact that it's the day after Pesach is irrelevant. What's relevant is that it's the day after Shabbos. You don't do it the day after Pesach, depends when. Pesach is on Shabbos, it's the day after Pesach. Pesach is not on Shabbos, it's not the day after Pesach. Right? So why would it say, Vayochel v'macher es ha-Pesach? That was just coincidental, it's not the issue. The Rambam's golden words. The fact that the Pesach associated with Macharas HaPesach, that's why they started to eat it, is clearly indicative that the Ilah, the cause, the factor that allowed them to eat the Chodesh is that it was the day after Pesach. We don't care which day of the week it is. It's as long as it's the day after Pesach to Zion Nissen. These are the way the Rambam sums up the debate and the halach. Today I ask you a simple question. Was is a angegangen in the neshama that mimachar as a Shabbos means mimachar as Shabbos bereishis, not mimachar as a Shabbos. Why would it stuck him in the baitusim? So obsessed with reinterpreting this pasuk. The Rambam says in every generation, this is what was done. Suddenly in Bayis Sheni, they said, no, Mimachar es HaShabbos. And what do they care if it's Tazayinis? And it makes a big difference. How do I know they were obsessed? I know from two things. First of all, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, and Rashi there, it's from Yerushalmi, that they rented false witnesses to come and testify in Beis Din that they saw the moon of Rosh Chodesh Nissan. They wanted Rosh Chodesh Nissan to fall out on Shabbos so that Beis Nissan would be able to be Sunday, so that the first day of Pesach would be Shabbos, so Sfiras Ha'emunah would be Sunday. And because of that, they changed the whole procedure, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, of who they accepted as witnesses for the sight of the new moon, because they realized that false witnesses were being rented. That means these guys were really ambitious. Besides the fact you see that the Chazal instituted that the whole community has to come down and watch this harvest in order to uproot their philosophy, because they felt that this philosophy is a very serious issue. And the Rambam indeed points out that they left Klal Yisrael by Bayis Sheni. And he says, why did they leave Klal Yisrael by Sheni? Because this is what they said. So even though you could say the two things are disconnected, it sounds like from the words of the Rambam, it was like almost this statement presented and personified the fact that they left Klal Yisrael at Bayis Sheni. What was their obsession with this issue of Macharas HaShabbos? Now the Gemara says this came after another mini holiday, and that was their obsession that every individual could bring the Karban Tamid. Why were they so obsessed with that? What do they care if the community brings the Karban Tamid? And these were two holidays in close proximity to each other. You could say they're disconnected. One was from Rosh Chodesh till Chesnissen, one was from Chesnissen till the end of Pesach. Although it seemed from the Gemara that there is a theme here. In the beginning of Nissan, they established the Karban Tumit, and in the end of Nissan, they established Chag HaShavuos. Are they completely disconnected? But the Gemara does not make any association. I have another little question. This man tells Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you know why I say Mimacharos HaShabbos? It's very simple. I believe in love. I believe that a Jewish leader loves the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu loves the people. He wants Sfiras HaOmer to begin on Sunday, so Shavuos is a Sunday, so you have a long weekend. So what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai say? Really? He loves the Jewish people? Why does he keep them in the desert for 40 years? So this is a very funny paradox. The tzukim are screaming, Moshe Rabbeinu is full of love! And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is like, I'm not so sure. Why are they in the desert for 40 years? And it's Moshe Rabbeinu's fault that they were in the desert for 40 years. Now, of course, you could say, as it seems from Rashi in the sugya, it wasn't an authentic exchange. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Oyev Yisrael. But this man is saying, oh, he's an Oyev Yisrael, that's why Shavuos is Sunday. He's saying, really? Look at what happened in the Midbar. So it's just almost a futile exchange. Sicha b'teila. But really, the story deserves to be looked at from a deeper point of view. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Gadol Hador. The Gadol Hador. So I ask you a question. A Yid comes into Shul. He considers himself a heretic, an atheist, an agnostic. He opens up a Chumash and he starts asking foolish questions. A foolish question. Starts making statements that Rosh Hashanah has to always fall out on Sunday, and Yom Kippur is not in Tishrei, Yom Kippur is Chanukah, and Purim is not in Adar, Purim is Shavuos, and you don't eat Pesach HaMatzah, you shake a lulav on Pesach. Whatever his thing is. So they say, yeah, well, interesting. Interesting. Let's bring you to the Chafetz Chaim. You know, discuss it with him. Let's bring you to the Vilna Gaon. Let's bring you to the Baal Shem Tov. Let's bring you to the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Let's bring you to the Chassam Sofer. Let's bring you to Reb Chaim Soloveitcher. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Gadol Hador. He has to debate this fellow who's screaming that Moshe Rabbeinu wants memorial weekends for Shavuos so people can go to hotels. They have to bring him to Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had what to do with his life. And yet, he was debating the greatest scholar of the Jewish people, the leader of the Sanhedrin. This means, obviously, that there was something more to his words. There was a depth, there was a profundity, there was a serious exchange. Even though relative to Torah, we call it Sicha B'Teila. And this is a yesod that's brought in Svarim, that all the debates that are brought in Chazal, the fact that some of the greatest sages debated these people are not futile debates. They have lots of content in them. Sometimes the debates were forced, but very often they were not forced. Especially that the Amoraim chose to record it in the Gemara as part of Torah Shebaal Peh for eternity. And we make, before we learn it, we have to make a blessing, Asher Bachar Bonu Mikol HaAmim V'Nasalanu Es Torasoi. Torasoi, Toras Emes. There is depth to all of these debates. And here, it's interesting, this man is screaming, Moshe is an Oyev Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, why is he leaving the Jewish people in the desert for 40 years? We're going to examine today, three explanations that have been presented on this story by three great spiritual giants of the Jewish people who all lived in the last century, in the last 100 years. Diverse personalities lived in different parts of the world. And yet, if we look closely, we can see a common thread that pervades their insights and their explanations. And we're going to go through these three explanations. But in order to appreciate it, we have to learn another piece of Gemara that's not connected to this at first glance. In your source, the third to the last source on page 1 of Gemara in Beit Zedaf Yud Zayinam and Aleph Tana Rabban and the rabbis learned. Yom Tif Shechali is B'Shabbos. When Yom Tif comes out on Shabbos, Rebbe Yoimi Rebbe says, Avchoysim B'Mekadish HaShabbos Yisrael B'Hazman. In Shmoyne Esra you conclude the middle blessing. Usually every Shabbos, how do we conclude the middle blessing of Shmoyne Esra? Mekadesh HaShabbos. Yom Tov Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. The one who sanctifies Shabbos, the Jewish people, and the times, the calendar. Tani Tana Kamedi Rabina. One of the teachers said this over in front of Rabina, and he changed the order. Mekadesh Yisrael V'HaShabbos V'Azmanim. Amale, Ravina heard this chain, he said, whoa, Atu Shabbos Yisrael Mekachile. The Jews sanctify Shabbos. Mekadesh Yisrael V'HaShabbos V'Hazmanim. He sanctifies the Jewish people, and then Shabbos, and then the holidays. The Jews don't sanctify Shabbos. Shabbos Mekacha V'Kaima. Shabbos stands as a holy day, innately, essentially, before the Jewish people. Ela Eime, the way you have to say it is Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Hashem sanctifies Shabbos, and the Jewish people, and the holidays. The Jewish people sanctify the Yom Tovim because we are the ones who create the Jewish calendar. There's no Pesach on Tesvav Nissen. There's no Yom Kippur on Yud Tishrei. If there's no Rosh Chodesh Nissen, who decides when is Rosh Chodesh Nissen? The way it was decided, today we have the calendar, the way it was decided was Beis Din would accept testimony, as we said earlier, and they would decide. And if no witnesses would come, you had to wait another day for Rosh Chodesh. That's why there were many doubts. They were the ones who decided when Rosh Chodesh is, based on the instruction of Torah. So therefore, Ravina says, you don't say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hashabbos. Amar Reb Yosef, Halacha K'Rebbe, Yukad Etoritz Rabina. That's the Halacha, like Rebbe, and as Ravina explained it. Rashi says, Atu Shabbos Yisrael Mekachile, Shekod Mas Kedushas Yisrael L'Shal Shabbos. Are you telling me the Kedusha of the Jewish people precedes Shabbos? Bishleim azmanim tzarech lahakdim kedushas Yisrael l'kedushasam shayidei kedushas Yisrael niskachu. Hey, when you're speaking about zmanim, the holidays, you have to say first Mekadesh Yisrael. You know why? Because of the Jewish people would not be holy. They would not be holy. It's the koyach, the Kedusha of the Jewish people that makes these days holy. We confer holiness on the day. The Jews could not create Rosh Chodesh and declare Yom Tov in Beis Din. El Shabbos Mikatsha V'Kaima Misheshis and Meberashis Ve'in Atluya B'Kviyas De Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos is a holy day from the 6 days of creation. Hashem made Shabbos the seventh day. It's irrelevant when Rosh Chodesh is. Every single week from the beginning of creation on the seventh day you have Shabbos. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Mantesa Amud Aleph, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Why do we say on Yom Tov Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim? Yisrael de Kachinu l'Zmanim. On Shabbos we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Why don't we say on Yom Tov Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaZmanim? Why suddenly Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim? How does that come into Yom Tov? The answer is because Shabbos is not based on Jewish holiness. It's a divine gift. Yom Tov Mekadesh Yisrael, and therefore v'Hazmanim Yisrael on Mekadesh Zmanim. Because Hashem was Mekadesh Yisrael, we're Mekadesh Zmanim. This is the Gemara in Beitza, and this is the Gemara in Brachas. Now, a little historical event. How did these groups of Tzdukim and Baitusim develop in Bayis Sheni? So there's a Medrash, Avos de Reb Nosson. Avos de Reb Nosson is a Tanoic commentary on Pirkei Avos. And on the first mission of Pirkei Avos, which is also learned between Pesach and Shavuos, Antigonos teaches to his students, don't be like a servant that serves his master just for the reward. Be like a servant who serves his master even without the reward. He serves him out of love, out of affection. Says Avos de Reb Nosson. Antigonos ishsoicha hayolai shnei talmidim shayushayim bedvarav. Antigonos, who lived in Bayis Sheni, had two students who would study his words. You have to turn around your source sheet, side two. And they created students, and the students created students. These two students had many students, and the students began examining their words. Why did our teacher say this statement? Don't be like servants who serve their master for a reward, for a prize. Does it make sense that an employee works all day and in the evening he does not take his wages? The fact that Antigonus taught, don't be like a servant who does it for the reward, means he didn't believe there was a reward. If he would have known there's another world, there's resurrection of the dead, he would never say this. He didn't believe there's a reward, and therefore he said, you know what? Let's make a new Judaism. Don't serve God for reward. They separated from Torah, and they developed into two groups. Stukim ubaitusim. Stukim al shem tzaddik, baitusim al shem baitos. Antigonus had two students. One was tzaddik, one was baitos. And both of them left their Rebbe, left Judaism, and they created new groups among Klal Yisrael during the era of Mayasheni. They lived a very aristocratic life. They were very filled with themselves. They were arrogant. The Sadducees would say, there's a tradition by the Prushim. The Prushim was the name they gave to the Chazal, to those who maintained the tradition of Torah. They were called the Prushim, the Pharisees, the ones who were separate, who were distinct. Their tradition is Shem, it's Sarin Atzman Boilam Hazah. They aggravate themselves in this world. And they got nothing. Basically, as we say, Kireyach Mikana Mikan. You're bald from both sides. You got nothing. Olam Hazeh, at least, we also don't believe in Olam Haba, but at least you live it up in this world. They don't live it up in this world, and Olam Haba, they also have nothing, so they're teaching. Don't do it for schar. And this was the genesis of the breakaway of the Tzedukim and the Baitusim, which develops into many debates that are recorded in Chazal. Two of them we learned about today. Mimacharas HaShabbos means after Shabbos, not after Pesach. And the carbon tumid can be contributed by an individual. You don't need the communal funds. The first insight comes from an introduction to a sefer known as Klei Chemda. Klei Chemda is a commentary on Chumash that was authored by Reb Meir Don Rafal Plotsky. Reb Meir Don Plotsky was born in Poland in the year Tofresh Chav Zayin. That would be 1867. He was a Talmud Muvik of the famous Avnei Nezer, Reb Avraham Borenstein, the Sochatshover Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, the Meir Don Plotsky. He had many Rebbes, but he considered him as Talmud Muvik. He writes that he is the one who taught me and showed me Noyam U'Mesikus Torasenu HaKdoisha, the sweetness and the pleasantness of our holy Torah. His father was an Alexander Chassid of Chanechenech of Alexander, but he himself became a Chassid of the Svas Emes, of the second Rebbe of the Gera dynasty, the grandson of the Chidushi Harib. Reb Meir Don Plotsky became the rabbi of a city, Ostrov, in eastern Poland, and then at some point left the rabbinate, created a yeshiva in Warsaw, known as the Mesifta, and became a very active Jewish leader, especially involved in Agudas Yisrael in Poland. There's a new video that was recently came out. You probably saw from the first Knesset Gdola, the first Agudas Yisrael convention in Vienna in 1923. The first one was supposed to be in 1914, but the First World War broke out, so it was delayed till 1923, and a video of the Chofetz Chaim is there. So one of the delegates, one of the speakers, one of the great men at that Knesset Gdola was Reb Meir Don Plotsky. He wrote a sefer called Chemdas Yisrael, a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. He wrote a sefer called Shalu Shloim Yerushalayim. There was a fellow by the name of Shloim Friedlander who came out and said that he discovered Yerushalmi Seder Kachim. Yerushalmi doesn't have Kachim. And he said he found an old manuscript and he published it. And many rabbis fell for it. Reb Meir Don Plotsky was one of the great fighters against it. It was then proven that it was false. This guy, Friedlander, falsified a whole Yerushalmi on Seder Kachin. And he wrote a sefer, Reb Meir Don Plotsky, called Shalom Shloim Yerushalayim, to demonstrate the falsehood of this book. Reb Meir Don Plotsky passed away, Tofresh Peches, I believe, 1928. He passed away, Tofrit, in 1928 in Warsaw, where he was interred near his father. And he was one of the great Geoni Hador. He has a sefer, Klei Chemda on Chumash. And B'Shaita, when it came out, The first volume was published in 1906, Tafresh Samachvov. It made a great tumult. What they would call today a bestseller, I don't know if that applied then, but it made a big tumult in the Yoyle Matrein. It's still a very popular book, his style of learning, his goyness, his pilpul, his depth. The introduction to Klei Chemda has a whole piece on this story in Gemara. It's a long stickle, it's a few pages. But I want to do one paragraph with you. Klei Chemda in the Hagdom. Let's do one shtickle of the way that Meir Dan Plotsky sees this story. Omnam, you see, side two of your source sheets. Omnam laham tikoinim biyoiser nirit. To explain this more, this is what I want to say. The be'emes bebiur mikra zedim emacharas hashabas bazen isgala kol shoyder shahevdol bein atstukim ba'prush. In this debate about mimacharas hashabas, the source of the entire distinction philosophically and theologically between the Tzdukim and the Purushim emerged. In other words, what the Meir Don Plotsky is telling us is don't think it's a little debate about a Pasuk. Not such a little debate. It starts with a Pasuk. It's a conceptual debate about Judaism. It's manifested in two words in Macharas HaShabbos. Kol Shoyer Shahandel, the core of the difference, which is generally a method of learning. In other words, what looks like a debate about two words is really a much larger debate of hashkafa that comes out in these two words. What's the root of their argument? It's known that the Tzdukim did not acknowledge the validity of the oral tradition of the Chachamim. They said, let's stick to the text only. I took this off a PDF, so some of the words came out distorted. What does it mean they didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh? Why not? They didn't believe in the koyach, in the power of the human mind, to be able to really understand and interpret Torah, and that's called Torah. V'zem ip'as shehim maimrim, they say, shepnei adam ein lehem asaga b'Torah Hashem Yisbarach. Human beings can't comprehend God's Torah. U'be'emes, just made that up. But I think it may be right. But the truth is, what is a person? A person has a piece of Hashem. The neshama is a chelek alikah. Chazal say they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. You know why? Fascinating words. They also believe there may be a soul. But everyone has a body. And the body is physical and mortal and frail and brute. And therefore, how can one expect that a human being can really grasp, the human being can touch the divine? The whole concept of Torah Shabbat Peh is corruption. It's a corrupt idea. That the Chachamim can take the formulas of Torah and deduce new laws based on the text, interpret the text, explain the text, elucidate the text. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, B'shloi Shesri Midois HaTorah Nidreshes Ben Kal V'Choymem Zeir Shoved Bin Yenov Klal U'Prad Over Amin Min Yonah. The human being is completely divorced from Torah. That's why there's no Tchiyas HaMeisim. The body rots and it's food for the worms. The idea of Tchiyas HaMeisim is the idea of Kedushas HaGuf. That even the physical life of the Jew, the physical life of the human being has eternity. Not only the spiritual life of the person. In other words, even life here on earth has a tremendous infinite dignity to the point that the Torah can become theirs. They have the ability to understand and comprehend Torah. The Jewish people who received the Torah from the days of Moshe, the Jewish people understand that it's something, there's something deeper. Torah was given to the Jewish people and empowers them to become part of Torah, to become as holy as Torah, to be able to internalize Torah, and to be able to interpret Torah, of course, not according to their whim or moods, according to the formulas that were given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the principles by Torah itself. No rabbi can get up and say, you know, I'm in the mood of this mitzvah, I'm not in the mood of that mitzvah. Of course not. There's no freedom here to reform Judaism according to your own moods or your own understanding today. It's based on the formulas of Torah. But based on those formulas, Torah Shebaal Peh is as sacred as Torah Shebaksav. Even though it's human creativity, it's human wisdom. How can you compare a Blat Gemara, a Perik Mishnayis, a Shailas Achuvas, a Sifrin Shulchan Aruch to a Chumash? This is dictated by God and this is human minds. The mind, the brain is a product of the human body, of human upbringing, of human mortality. It's the same debate about Chiyas HaMeisim. Can one elevate himself where his or her very body and soul together become a vehicle for the divine? They too become part of Torah. Their words become part of Torah. This they would not agree with, and the Chazal vehemently debated this point because it's about the entire perspective was a mensch is, what a human being is, and what a human being is capable of. Says the Klei Chemda, v'zeo amachloikis ha'gdoi lebinyim imachiras ha'shabbos. The Hatzdukim Svirilei, the Yom Tif Afal Gav she'asur boi melocha she'loi letzorich oichal nefesh. The Tzdukim say, you could never call Yom Tov Shabbos. Chas v'sholem. You know why? Shabbos, all labor is forbidden. Yom Tov, all labor is forbidden besides one thing, to prepare food for people. For Jews, that's not Shabbos. That's a human day. That's a day like it's you can't compare it to Shabbos. Shabbos is a godly day, but this is a human day, because the Torah allows you to make food for the person. Omnam hachachamim svidalu the afa gav the mutter by letzoyde chechel nefesh mikol mekem kibon de chazinon de enei mutter ala mashul letzoyde chisrael dafke yisrael niskachu bekdushas Hashem yizbarach adi atoyim kein abekamoy Shabbos. The doiche oisei mila, the chen huter b'mikdash legami, v'avol b'kei nikru Shabbos, kiven the melachis elu l'tzorech gavoyahem. The chen yomtif afal gav the mutter behen, melachis oichal nefesh, mikol mokem b'shvil zeh loy nofik mekloud Shabbos. Say the chachamim, you missed the point. The tzdukim say, how can you compare yomtif to Shabbos? Shabbos is a divine day, it's a holy day. All melachis is forbidden. Yom Tov, melacha is forbidden, but for the Jew you can make melacha. You can make melacha soichel nefesh. If that's the case, it's a time for the Jewish people. It's a time when the human beings celebrate. Doesn't have the kedusha of Shabbos. The Chachamim say, no, oichel nefesh of a Jew doesn't oich Shabbos. Yisrael niskachu b'kedushas Hashem. The fact that you're serving the Jew that he can eat and celebrate Yom Tov, and that's why you're allowed to do malacha, that's not a compromise of divine holiness. The Jew is a shtik elikus. The Jew is a shtik Torah. That's also part of Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're allowed to make a bris. Yeah. On Shabbos, you're allowed to bring karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Why? That's Torah Gavoya. It's God's work. Karbonis is for Hashem. Milah is a mitzvah for Hashem. That doesn't violate the holiness of the godliness of Shabbos. That's for Hashem, that's Tzorech Gavoya. Come the Chazal and say, Yom Tov too. It's also Tzorech Gavoya. Meleches Oichel Nefesh for the Jew is also divine. Because the Jewish body, like the Jewish soul, is also sanctified through the Koyach of Torah. That's the power of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why Mimacharas HaShabbos could mean Yom Tov. The Tzdukim will say Mimachas HaShabbos is never Yom Tov. And then he goes on to say that in a way Yom Tov is even higher, because on Shabbos you're only allowed to bring karbonis that are for that day. You can't just bring another carbon on Shabbos, only if it's an obligation for that day, like the carbon tamid. What about on Yom Tov cooking? The Gemara says Mitoich Shehutru L'Tzorech, Hutru Nami Shaloi L'Tzorech. You're allowed to carry food, but you're also allowed to carry your keys on Yom Tov. You're allowed to carry your siddur on Yom Tov. Right? So he says it even wants to show that in many ways, the Kedusha of the Jewish people in some ways has even a superiority to any other Kedusha, because on Shabbos you limit all human involvement, but even divine involvement, only what's needed for that day. On Yom Tov, You include even things that are not directly necessary for Oichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. And then the Klei Chemda adds one more point. And for this, take a look in the next source, a Gemara in Menachas, Daf Hei Amud Beis. Rava Amar, Rava says, Minchas Ha'omer, Shekmatzo Shaloi Lishma. If you take the mincha of the Omer, the carbon Omer, and you make kmitza shaloi lishma, the kohen takes part of the flour completely not for the intention of the carbon Omer. Ksheira ushiareh necholit, it's completely kosher, and the kohenim could eat it, even though other minchas, if it was done shaloi lishma, not for the sake of the carbon Omer, would this invalidate it? Here it's kosher. You don't need to bring another carbon aimer in order to be matir. No, it's fine. This is perfect. Because the thought of shaloi lishma will not be effective. Only if it's done by somebody who's worthy to do the avoida, mean a kohen who's not unblemished. Bedavar haroyel avoida, in something that's worthy for the avoida, and in a place that's worthy for the avoida. Says Rashi, what's bedavar haroyel avoida? Kegoy minchas chitin. Aval minchas ha'oymer shal sa'oyrim, einu ru'uye ela la'avoida zubel vad lahatir v'loy misham karben asya. Rashi says there was no mincha that was brought from barley. Everyone was brought from wheat, because karbanas are brought from wheat. This was not a carbon. You know what it was? It was only there to allow Jews to enjoy their new produce, their new crop. It's only a heter, it's not a carbon. And that's why even if it's shaloi lishma, I don't care, because the machshav of shaloi lishma could only passel if you're doing something that's a carbon, but minchas ha'oymer is not a carbon. Says the Klei Chemda, the Tzedukim say, you want this to be doiche Shabbos? You want this to be doiche Shabbos? You can harvest it on Shabbos? How could this be doiche Shabbos? Not even, there's no element of gavoy. It's only to be matir that Jews can eat their new bread. And therefore they argued on that point too. And therefore they said, Mimacharas HaShabbos always means Sunday. Because if it would mean the next day after Pesach, it can happen even on Shabbos. That means you have to you violate Shabbos for this. There's no way you violate Shabbos for this. For what? To be matir food for the Jewish people? This is another explanation in their argument. So it's a debate about what is the relationship between man and God. What is the relationship between Torah Shebe Ksav and Torah Shebe Al Peh? Torah Shebe Ksav is what Hashem gives us. Torah Shebe Al Peh is kevayachal, what we give Hashem. Judaism is what we receive as passive recipients. Torah Shebe Al Peh is the creativity of the Jewish people. It represents the personality of Klal Yisrael. Their mind, their psyche, their contribution, their heart. Is that also sacred? Is that also divine? Does that also have the same Kedushas HaTorah? Is the body sacred? Is the body divine? Is there Tchiyas HaMeisim? It's this, according to the Klei Chemda, that the debate is concerned with. The Klei Chemda of Meir Dan Plotsky sent his sefer, sent his book, years after it was published, in the year Tofresh Pehei, 1925, to another Jew. This Jew was Reb Avraham Yitzchak HaKoyen Cook. Rav Cook was a fascinating personality, even though for some, a very controversial figure. Rav Cook was born in Latvia around the same time of the Klei Chemda. He was born 2 years before him in 1865. He was a Talmud in Valozhin by the Netziv, in the yeshiva of Valozhin. Ultimately, he was a rabbi in a few cities. Ultimately, in 1904, he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. He became the Rav of Yafo, the city of Yafo. In 1919, Tofresh Ayin Tes, he was appointed as the Rav of Yerushalayim after a vacancy of a few years since the passing of Rav Shmuel Salant. Rav Kook, who was the first chief rabbi of what was then known as Palestine, the first Ashkenazic chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, passed away in Elul Tofresh Tzadik Hei, Elul 1935, at the age of 70, I believe. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKoyen Cook was a gaon oila. Now the controversial component of his life was, he was a poet, he was a mystic, he was a brilliant, brilliant man. He was sensitive, he was very spiritual, and he was a great supporter of the work of the Chalutzim, the Zionists, the secular Zionists who were building the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael pre the creation of the state in 1948. And probably the best description that I have ever read about him. And you see how one can express himself about somebody with such elegance, even though there were some disagreements between them. And that is the 6th Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz, wrote about Rebbe Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. They were friends, but they disagreed on some issues, ideological issues. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote about him, Ahavosoy L'tzion Oiveres Kol Gvul. His love to Tzion transcends all boundaries and limitations. And this is a very deep and accurate description of Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Even his Bar Plukta Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who founded the Eda HaCharedis, what they would call the ultra-right-wing group of rabbis in Yerushalayim that didn't follow the path of Rav Cook. They once asked him, who is the Rav of Yerushalayim? And he said, Rav Cook is the Rav of Yerushalayim. They said, really, you agree? He says, yeah, ich bin the Purim Rav. I'm the Purim Rabbi in Yerushalayim. They say, what do you mean? He says, you know, they used to have in Fetlach a Purim Rav. Why? Because a Rav is not allowed to drink. He has to be able to paskin shilas, it's a paskin shmini, lahoyres. On Purim, the Rav takes some lechayim. So somebody comes with a shilas, so you designate a Purim Rav. The rabbi is drunk for 24 hours. He's off duty. We have a Purim Rav. He says, my friend Rav Cook is drunk with love to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm the Purim Rav. I'm the Purim Rav. Till he sobers up because he's in love with them. The truth is that Rav Cook's writings in Halacha and Nigla are also phenomenal, phenomenal. And some of the greatest Talmidei Chacham of Eretz Yisrael were his Talmidim. He was the Masada Kedushin by the wedding of Rav Eliyashiv, who married Rav Aryeh Levin's daughter, the Tzaddik of Shem. Rav Aryeh Levin was a Talmud Muvik of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. He has a Sefer Shal Satshuvah called Mishpatei Kohen, about issues related to Eretz Yisrael. There he published in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet his response to Reb Meir Don Plotsky, who sent him his Klei Chemda. So Reb Cook writes him a long acknowledgement of his book and comments on what he wrote in the Klei Chemda, including this piece about the Tzedukah. And I want to read to you, it's a long tshuva, but I want to read with you one piece that Reb Cook writes to Reb Meir Don Plotsky, and this should be in your second page of sources. You see on top it says, Mishpat Koyin, Hilchas Tara, Simen Kuf Chavdalot. Ira Koydish Yerushalayim, Tibana Besikoyin, Iyer Tofresh Peye. It's a letter from 1925, Lekvoid Harav, Hagon Agadlo, it's a 30 year, Rav Meir Don Plotsky, the Rav of Ashkov, Yvarchim Tzurein of Yishmerim. Shalom Ubracha Ba'avar Rabba, Heiru Alever Pnei Svarav Akdoshim Klechem Dal Atoyra. He thanks him for his books. Take a look at the next paragraph. His Hebrew was also phenomenal. I read in his introduction that he spoke beautiful words about Torah Shabbal Peh. The Chakar Bidvar Pirtzes Hatzdukim Inyim Mokeres Hashabbos Lefarish Davka Shabbos Bereishis Shaloike Kabbalas Chazala Amitis Dekoy Yom Tavishim Shal Pesach. I saw what you wrote about the Tzdukim and the Prush. V'anoichi Biarti Inyim Zeh Bekesher Shoshtei Apirtzes Shalahem. And I explain this based on connecting their two debates. Shein b'kedushas Torah shabal peh, shei ikir habris shekaras Hakadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael b'shvila kegitn samach amid beis, shein smuches ulazuba megillas tainis kemenoches samachay shebazeh shenitzchum chacham mitoykem tmida v'achakach itoykem chaga d'shvuay. Rav Cook says, I feel there's a deep connection between the two debates in Gemara and Menachos. They debated about the Karban Tamid, you remember? And the second debate was about the Mokheres HaShabbos. In one, the Chachamim established the Karban Tamid, and in the other one, they established Yom Tov Shavuos. Are they disconnected? He says they're not disconnected. And let's see his analysis. We'll read here the first column. And this leads directly into the theme of last week's class, for those who were here, how you define the concept of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean, Tzibur, in Jewish life? Says Rav Cook, the reason that Tzdukim wanted that an individual could bring a contribution of a carbon tamid, what's the big deal? They believed Jewish people are another nation. We have our own national identity. There are Americans, there are Italians, there are Australians, there are Brits, there are English, there are Russians, and there are Hebrews, there's Jews. We are a nation like any other nation. Shekol uma ikir hakibut shalo kedei lehetiv layichidim apratim. What's the definition of a nation? It's a technical, utilitarian, pragmatic need. When you have many individuals, you need some collective constitution so they could join forces to protect themselves from an enemy, to be able to maintain the beauty and the cleanliness and the needs of their environment. In other words, it's based on individuals coming together who basically have a national identity simply for practical reasons. So the definition of the klal is what? Individuals. Individuals coming together to create a klal. Aval haklal mitzad atzma, ein lo mitzias atzmas. There's no essential reality called the klal. What's this klal? It's completely an abstract concept. It's not tangible. There's one person. There's two people. When you have 10 people, and you have 100 people, and you have 1,000 people, and then you have 1,000,000 people, it's a lot of people to deal with. So yes, you need laws, you need constitutions. You call it a country, a nation, a people. But that's only a name. It's semantics. What is it really? It's really many individuals trying to live together. We call it in English a social contract, so that there shouldn't be anarchy and havoc and complete hefkeris. When you have 1,000,000 people, everybody does their own thing. So ish Yisrael chayim b'loy, everybody will need to help each other alive. So you need a regime, you need a system, you need a government. And the truth is, humanity has been experimenting with this for thousands of years. What did Winston Churchill say? Winston Churchill said that socialism is the equal distribution of misery. And capitalism is the unequal distribution of wealth. So there's always challenges. You know, capitalism is not perfect, but we all know what type of paradise, quote unquote, socialism and communism brought to the world. In the name of equality. There's no yachid, there's only a klal. And many of our own family members suffer terribly under Stalin. So what Rav Kook is saying is the real definition of a klal of a nation is individuals coming together. The definition of tzibur in the world, it's essentially partners. If I go in with you in a partnership in business, it's about me. I care about me, you care about you. I understand, I need you, you need me. So we work together as partners. If we open up a company and we get 10 investors to be partners, everyone is just in it for themselves. But everybody needs somebody else. I need the money, I need the help, I need the management, whatever it is. But that's what it's about. It's about the yachid. The klal is simply a summary. It's a summation of many individuals. There's nothing here transcending the individual identity. I'm not a partner for you so that you should make money. I mean, I hope you make money, but I'm not going into partnership and dealing with the headache and the burden. So when you have a nation, it's essentially partners. We're all partners. And there's nothing wrong. That's the way the world goes. That's the way life revolves. By the Jewish people, there's two separate concepts. There's something called tzibur, and there's something called shutfin. How do I know? Fascinating raya. There's a mishnah, there's a halacha called tmura. What's tmura? If I have a carbon, I designate a sheep as a carbon. It's a carbon, let's say a carbon oil. So the Torah says in Parshas B'chukosai, lo yomir oisei v'lo yachlifenu. I'm not allowed to substitute it on another sheep. You know what? I take a liking to this sheep. I say, you know what? Let me use that sheep. I can't even substitute it for a better sheep. It's a lav. And if you do, they both become holy. You have to give them both up for karbonis. What about if it's a carbon sibur or a carbon shutfin? Let's say you and I together contribute a carbon. The halacha is that shutfin could bring a carbon together. It says, Adam ki yakriv mekem carbon Hashem and abehem and abakur and takrivu as karbanchem at the beginning of Ayikra. So Rashi brings from Chazal, takrivu, karbanchem, shutfin and sibur can bring a carbon. Can I do tmura? Can I do tmura? Can the shutfim say, you know what? Let's be meimer the carbon. So he says, the Mishnah says, Ein hatzibur vashut v'naisim t'mura. By the tzibur, the shvut t'mura will not work. They're not allowed to do it, according to the Rambam's plaque, but it's not going to work. The other animal will not become holy. It's ineffective. Their t'mura is ineffective. The question is, why does the Mishnah say, Ein hatzibur v'hashutfim? Shouldn't the Mishnah say, Ein hashutfim oisim t'mura, partners? What's the difference? 2 partners? 1,000 partners? 10,000 partners? 100,000 partners? What's the difference? It's the same concept. 3 partners is 3 people. 100 people is 100 people. Ein hashutfim oisim t'mura? Or Ein hatzibur oisim t'mura? The tzibur can't make t'mura. In other words, if you have a carbon from the tzibur, even if they all agree, you can't do t'mura. It's not going to work. The other one will not be holy. Why 2? So the answer is because there's 2 distinct concepts in Yiddishkeit. There's a concept called shutfim, and there's a concept called tzibur. Shutfim can be 20,000 people, but they're partners. Tzibur is not 20,000 individuals. Tzibur is one entity that transcends the 20,000 individuals. The 20,000 individuals merge into a seamless, integrated wholeness, which we call tzibur. Klal Yisrael. It's not anymore me and you together. There is an essence, a transcendent, almost spiritual reality. What we call Knesset Yisrael. That includes all the individuals, and every individual is part of that klal. Mipnei sheyesh b'tzibur shal Yisrael kedusha u'metzius klolis. She'eina ne'ereches klal klapei achelik shal kol prat. There is a general kedusha that's not measured based on the summation of each detail, of each nuance. It's beyond even division. It's an indivisible essence. And that's why karbonis tzibur have to come from the tzibur, not from the individual. What do you care if an individual brings the carbon? It's not only a problem because it's my part and not your part. There's something deeper here. And that is, the carbon is coming from Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is not made up only of parts. True, Klal Yisrael is comprised of parts. But the parts create an entity that transcends individuals. And every individual is part of that higher entity. And that's what the carbon represents. And he brings an interesting proof. This is the reason for a very strange Gemara. It's a Baba Metzia, it's in Rosh Hashanah. If you look in your sources, I brought the Gemara. I brought one of the Gemaras. If you'll take a look in your source, the first source sheet, side 2, the second to the last was Rosh Hashanah, Dav Zayin Amar Aleph. Says the Gemara, Yachid she'esnadav mishaloik she'enim bilvat she'yimserim letzibur. If an individual donates a sheep for the carbon tzibur, it's fine, as long as he has to give it away to the tzibur. It can't be his anymore. He has to give it away as a gift. Of course. All the communal funds came from people. They gave it away. I would think, I'm afraid maybe he will not give it over to the tzibur wholeheartedly. Kamash malon, that we still accept it from him. What's the meaning of this? The meaning of this is, I come to the Beis HaMikdash. I say, here is my sheep. I give it away. We say, no. You know what? He may not give it away wholeheartedly. Why not? So the Mefarshim say, because he may want it to be his, so that it could be his carbon. So we're afraid. So that's the Chiddush, that we do accept it from him. We trust him that he's going to give it away wholeheartedly. The Gemara of Mitzi actually speaks about carbon oimer. There were people that were chosen to guard the barley that was harvested. And they would guard it. So the Gemara there, Bab Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Ches, discusses the idea, should they be paid or should they not be paid? So the rabbis say they have to be paid. You know why? Because if they're not paid, they're just guarding it voluntarily. And when they're guarding it, they're acquiring it for themselves so that nobody should take it. Because if somebody comes, they say, you're a thief, it's mine. And now, when they have to give it up to Beis Din, it has to become part of the klal, and we're afraid. They might not do it wholeheartedly. So the Chachamim say, make sure you pay them. So when you pay them, they're working for Beis Din, so it never becomes theirs. So therefore, they don't have to give it up. What's the problem? Why wouldn't they give it up, yafa yafa? What's the issue? So this is what he's going to explain. The explanation is as follows. If the issue is simply the person wants it to remain his, why? So that the carbon oimer should be brought from his barley, so he's not going to give it full-heartedly, so it's never going to become a carbon sibur. Bezdin could tell him, listen, Rabid, if you don't give this up to Bezdin, it's not going to be a kosher carbon. It's a carbon sibur. It can't come from your bank account. So please, make sure you're giving it up to us. So he'll, if he's going to think otherwise, and he's not going to make a kinyan, there won't be a good carbon. What is he going to gain from it? He's not going to gain anything from it. So obviously he'll give it up. What the Mishpat Kayan explains is there's something much deeper. He may give it up. You know how? He'll give it up to the Tzibur, which is made up of Yechidim. But Shema lo yimsrim le Tzibur yafe yafe. What's yafe yafe? Twice. What's yafe yafe? A carbon Tzibur is not just the collective of all the individuals who are bringing a carbon. It's a transcendent, integrated reality that transcends the prat in which you are not present as an individual. You're only part of Klal Yisrael. Your individuality melts away. I'm ready to give it up to the Klal, which I am part of. I'll serve my people, I'll serve my country, I'll serve my community. But to be able to have that mental awareness to give it up to the cloud that transcends the individual, this is a big chashash. It's not so simple. Shemela yimshim letzibur yafa yafa. People are ready to give up their egos if there's some level of self still invested. And therefore we're very afraid of this concept, yafa yafa. It's a whole different reality, and that's why the Chachamim say, make sure you pay him as a guard, so that this should not be an issue. And that's why the Tzdukim and the Chazal debated. What was the debate? The Tzdukim said, what do you care if an individual gives a carbon tumid? What's this tzibur anyway? Just a bunch of Jews who came together to do work together, so they bring a carbon. Well, so I gave it, you gave it. Today I gave it, tomorrow you'll give it. The next day he'll give it. What's the big deal? The Chachamim debated this. He took him tmidah. It wasn't an issue who donates the carbon tumid. That was a manifestation of a much larger issue. Is there a magic, I could put it in this word, is there a magic about Knesset Yisroel that transcends just a group of individuals coming together? That's what Tzibur is. It's not Shutfim. It's Tzibur. It's a divine reality. Not a in reality, Klal Yisroel is made up of 60 million people. And if you look at them individually, oy gevald, you know? It can get very problematic. You have shlomiels, you have shlomazels, you have nudniks. My grandmother used to say the shlomiel pours the soup on the shlomazel, and the nudnik wants to know what type of soup was it. And then you have a guy who pours soup on himself, so he's the shlomiel and the shlomazel and the nudnik b'chadamach. But the klal is beyond the yachid. The yachid, of course, has priceless gifts, but the klal creates something new. It's a new reality. There's a magic there. And therefore, he goes on to say, that's the koyach of Torah Sheba'al Peh. What's Torah Sheba'al Peh? Torah Sheba'al Peh is not you look at one individual Jew or another individual Jew. It's the magic of Klal Yisrael immersed in Torah that produces Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is the Kedusha of Hashem. Yom Tov is the Kedusha of Yisrael. Mekadesh Yisrael v'hasmanim. They say, how could you confuse Shabbos with Yom Tov? Once again, you can't call Yom Tov Mimacharas HaShabbos. And that's why they argue about that. You, the carbon tumid won't work. Only mitzibur. You don't need a tzibur for carbon yachid. You can have, you don't need a tzibur for carbon tumid. You can have also a yachid for carbon tumid. And the second argument was Mimacharas HaShabbos. They don't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh because Torah Sheba'al Peh represents the magic we call Klal Yisrael. They also, therefore, will not believe that Yom Tov can be confused with Shabbos because Yom Tov is created through Kedushas Yisrael. But what is Yisrael? There's no Kedushas Yisrael. Yisrael is many individuals that made it, that became a nation. God made a constitution with them. Okay, God also gave Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. There's no Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim to the point that Yom Tov should have the Kedusha of Shabbos, that you should call Yom Tov Mimacharas HaShabbos. It's all the same point in all of these debates. He writes to Reb Meir Domplotsky. He finishes this part of the letter and he says that I think that in the Nekuda HaPnim is in the core issue, you and I are saying the same thing, even though I am not elaborating on many ramifications of this idea. He has another sefer called Mamore Harav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen, and there he says another issue, and that is they could not believe that agriculture has the power of holiness to the point that harvesting stalks of grain can override Shabbos, because agriculture ultimately is an earthly endeavor and it remains divorced of the holiness of Shabbos, which of course he was also referring to the sacred work of toiling holy ground in the holy land. Now we come to the third perspective. Because till now we only focused on Pesach. Mimacharas HaShabbos means the day after Shabbos, not the day after Yom Tov. The Karban Tamid could be brought by individuals. Ktziras HaOmer can't be on Shabbos according to them. Yom Tov can't be confused with Shabbos. But let's remember there was another major aspect of their debate. And that is that Shavuos has to be on Sunday. Why? Because Moshe loves the Jewish people and he wants an extended weekend. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai argues. So now we come to a third insight. Take a look at the next source page. This is from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Likutei Sichos, volume 19, Dvarim, which he said at a Fabrengen Shavuos, Tavshin Lamed Zayin, 1977. I'm going to read with you a few paragraphs. It's published in Yiddish. And let's read a few paragraphs swiftly, and we'll bring it together. You see, page 5 of the Lakut Yisich is Dvarim Aleph, Sivov. Atzeres is Fabunden mit Svira. Eden Tzelen Mem Tes Yoim, and the Yoim HaChamishim is Atzeres. Shavuos comes after Svira. You count 49 days, and then you have Shavuos. Is Yodua. It's explained in Lakut Torah as the Mem Tes Yoim was Eden Tzelen Weizen of Dargis, the Mem Tes Shionim, so welch Eden de Grechen, bekoyach va'avoidas Atzmam, und der Fahr dafen seit Tzelen die Tag. Maschenke de Yoima Chamishim was geht nicht an einen des Svira von Yidin. Weißt du, if a darge schar hanun was kommt um ein Gitmel Meile, noch dem Tonnen der Griechen der darge ist der Bekoyach wavoy das Atzmai, al derich maimer azal, wenn a odo mekadish Atzmai ma atle mata, is mekatschinoi say hai bei mel Meile. Svira so einer represents the Jewish work, usfartem lochem, you count 49 days, each day you work on yourself, throughout the 49 gates, what's known as Memtes Shari Bina in the Gemara. But then there is the gift of Shavuos, which is the Shar Hanun. After you do your work, there is the gift that comes from above, which you don't count. You don't count the 50th day, because you stop, you reach, you have to climb and climb and climb and reach the climax of what you're capable through your own Avoida. And then as the Gemara says in Yuma, you sanctify yourself a little bit down here, and the Ribbono Shel Olam confers upon you tremendous Kedusha from above. That's how life works. You put in the work that you can, and then you experience something beyond what you're capable of achieving on your own. A gift from Hashem. Und das ist der Taina von Baitusi. This was their complaint. The Baal, das der Teuchin von Yom Tov Yom HaChamishim, is an Inyan, was kommt mal Meile. Darf euch der Hachonne zu Atzeres sein an ihnen, was ist magisch, nicht an so ja voides ha Odom, nur die Gdusche, was kommt mil Meile, Shabbos, was mit Katsche bekeimen, wo der Pfarrer ist es ein Tag von Teinug an Amol wie Egea. Die Friede, die Kedarge, sein in der Hachonne und zu sein Akli zu der Darge, ja immer Chamischem, was mit Gitmo Meile. Aber Atzeres Gufa ist Hecher von Avoides Odom. Und der Pfarrer ist euch der Ere von Schwurz, der Tag bis Miches Mamisch zu Atzeres, Darf gar sagen, Mann, was ist am Ein von dem Iluy Anal von Atzeres, Yoim HaShabbos. Let's explain what he said. This man comes to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and says, Moshe is a lover of the Jewish people. He wants Jews to have Nisangin Shnei Yomim, to have Tainuk for 2 days. At first glance, what is he saying? He wants us to eat Kishke and cheesecake, not 1 day, but 2 days. Shabbos and Sunday, don't give me a Yom Tov in the middle of the week. Let me sit outside on my porch on the beach chair 2 days straight, Shabbos and Sunday. That's the pashtus. What Lubavitcher Rebbe is suggesting is there's a much deeper idea in this man's perspective. And that's why he's debating Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's saying something profound. He's saying, what is Shavuos about? What is Man Matan Teresenu about? It's about a gift from Hashem beyond your Avoida. It's something that you cannot create. You cannot initiate. You cannot facilitate. You can prepare for it. You can work and climb 49 steps, 7 weeks, until you reach the climax, and then there's something that comes from heaven, and it descends to you. That's the 50th day. You don't create the 50th day. The 50th day is given to you. If that's the case, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu Oyev Yisrael Haya. Moshe wants the best for the Jewish people. He says, the day right before Shavuos, what must that day be? That day must also be a Shabbos. Because Shabbos, in that sense, is Mekatsha V'kaima. Shabbos is also a day that we don't create. Shabbos is a day that's holy whether you create it or you don't create it. Shabbos is a day of tainug. It's a day of pleasure. It's not a day of work, of toil, of labor. Kol malach decha asuya. So in other words, what are they saying? What they're saying is, the last day, Erev Shavuos, the day that brings in Shavuos, also has to be a day that underscores passivity, pleasure, delight, beyond Avodah. You count 49 days, MS. But the last day before Shavuos, what's the ultimate achana for Shavuos? Not human creativity, human initiation, a day of rest, a day of tainuk. Shiyum is amgin shnei yamin. There should be tainuk 2 days. The preparation is on Shabbos, and that's the proper preparation for Shavuos, which comes from above. What? Why are they so obsessed with this perspective? This stems from an underlying question, and that is, how intimate can the relationship between man and God really be? Can we ever really, through our work, through our identity, touch something real that's transcendent? And that's what he continues. Zayin. Chag HaShavuos is the Chzman Matan Teiraseinu. Is the Inyan Anal B'negeyet Tzuatzeres, Oich Da B'shittas HaBaitusim B'negeyet Tzuklolos Inyan HaTeira. This is their perspective for the whole Torah. The Baitusim Gloibin Nishtin Teirashab, Gloibin Narin Teirashab Iksav, Nitin Teirashab Alpeh. The Chiluk Tzivishin Teirashab Iksav and Teirashab Alpeh is. Teirashab Iksav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymer Moshe Kaysev. Sie ist gegeben geworden in ganzen Milmeile und in dem ist nicht also eine Gehe da von der Sage von dem was lernt ihr. Teure Schabal Pes in Jona. Wie teure ist er abgekommen bei Havana bei Hasage. Wie sie werden es gal und ihr gegeben durch die Chachmi in Stolz und Bechol der Überdö. Und in ihr darf sein La Afoshala. Der Leume darf Hodewen mit sein Seichel zu Uftan und mit Chadr sein in Teure. Man schenken mit Teure Schabal Pes. Teure nicht sein kein Yatir vechassir. The Baitusim Gloimen nor in Teure Shabiksav. They halten as Teure is nor das was kommt begolli mol meila. Al derach zebe maten Teure. Und das ist die Teine von der Baitusim. Als man sagt, Avas Yisrael. Hat Moshe ne Sachen gewinn as Atzeres is Acher HaShabbos. Noch a Tog welch is on Amol Vyegiya nor Teinug. Megit Alts mol meila. They embrace only Teure Shabiksav because Teure Shabiksav is a gift from above. Your own creativity is irrelevant. Halachically, you don't even have to understand Torah Shabbiksav. You're yoytzu the mitzvah of learning, just saying the words. That's how much your mind is not so relevant here. Torah Shabbal Peh is all about you understand, you comprehend, you grasp, you're creative, you internalize it. It was given over to the Chachmi Yisrael. It's all about chidushim, innovation, creativity. Torah Shabbal Ksav is always about the fixed words. Don't, nothing extra, nothing less. Torah Shabbal Peh is about adding and adding more and more. They say, what is Torah? Only that which we stand with passivity and we receive. The relationship is one way. You give and we take. Therefore, how do you celebrate Matan Torah? What's the day right before Matan Torah? Shabbos. A day when you give, we receive. Shabbos Mekatsha V'kaima. Moshe is an Oyev Yisrael. He wants Jews to really be able to have an experience of Matan Torah. Therefore, they need the day before Matan Torah should be Shabbos. And the Chazal debate them. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turns to him and says, really? Moshe was an Oyev Yisrael? Why then were they in the desert for 40 years? What was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying? He was not just saying, oh, Moshe didn't care for the Jewish people. Look what he did. He was explaining a point. Why did they stay in the desert for 40 years? Punishments in Torah are not vengeful. It's not Hashem says, you start up with me, I'll start up with you. You don't listen to me, I'll teach you. It's like educating your children. If you educate with vengeance, if you punish because you're in a bad mood or you're angry, you have to score points. So you have a temper issue. That's not education. Education is always about growth, rehabilitation, helping the person, the child, the student reach his or her maximum potential. The issue was that the Jewish people, demonstrated with the mistake of the spies that if Hashem would bring them into Eretz Yisrael, it would be a gift from above. But they were not psychologically, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually ready to live up to their identity as the partners of God to change the world. They were in a passive state. The Rambam, Emor Nevuchim, says they had a slave mentality and therefore they were incapable of becoming a nation. And he says they were 40 years in the desert simply to toughen up as a people. So that's how the Rambam puts the Emor Nevuchim. But the concept is, according to all explanations, the point is, what does Avos Yisrael mean? I love you and therefore I give you everything? Or I love you and therefore I believe that you can create your destiny? Which is a deeper love? At the surface, the former love is much more enticing. I love you and I give you everything, but it's also paralyzing. I love you, but I don't believe you. I don't believe in you. I love you, but I don't trust you. I love you, but I don't empower you. I love you, so I give and give and give and give, because ultimately, I don't believe in you. I believe only in me. And you have to remain a recipient of me. He says, Moshe was an Oyev Yisrael. The preparation for Matan Torah is Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, that's not Moshe's Avos Yisrael. Moshe's Avos Yisrael was he believed in the people. He believed in their power. He believed that godliness can be internalized within them. He believed that they are capable of becoming true partners of Hashem. That's what Torah Shebaal Peh represents. That's what Yom Tov represents. That's what the magic of Klal Yisrael represents. There's something in Kedushas Klal Yisrael that every yachid is part of and capable of internalizing in their life. And therefore, you know what the preparation for Matan Torah is? Not Shabbos, necessarily. A weekday. Avodah, creativity, input, output. Your very initiative and identity can make you the receptacle then to meet and touch the divine. This is Moshe's Avos Yisrael. It's a different type of love. I don't only believe, I don't only love you and cherish you, but actually, I believe in your ultimate underlying power. I want to empower you, even if that means that I have to let you make mistakes and let you go through a process and let you be tested by the trials and tribulations of life, which is what happens in the Midbar. Over those 40 years of life, Jews go through every experience which allows us today to still be here. It's what happened those 40 years. The Sfatemis writes, every conceivable, the Balatanya says it's also in Lakuta Torah, every conceivable Nisayan that the Jewish people will face throughout history happens in the desert. And they work it through. And some people get lost in the process, but it becomes theirs. Now when they're going into Eretz Yisrael, the Atem Hadveikim B'Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayoyim, it's Atem Hadveikim. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's argument to them. That's why Moshe has them 40 years in the desert. This is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells this person. And that's why it's called Mimacharas HaShabbos. Yom Tov is also Shabbos. And harvesting of the Yomer is also on Shabbos. And Shavuos can follow a weekday. And that's what he finishes here. He says in Ches, the Emes is Abed as Oich Teira Shebaal Peh as Gegeben Gevonim B'Sinai. Oich Das Vos Nivroim Zayna Masig Mitzayir Seichel in Teira is as Teira as Hashem. Even that which the person comprehends with his mind is also divine. Nor does his vitreide is arop gekommen bis slapshus lamata bis as a nivre zol as kenna verstehen. It's the way Torah enclosed itself that the human can grasp it. Und in dem fird sich heus dem chuvun vom Matan Torah, as es soll sein der chibur elien vertachten. Wenn ein Mensch horre wird ois mit sein Seichel as svore in Torah, is Torah's Havaye wird mikras al shmoi, Torah soi. Das wird sein in Aninien. Sie ist takke nita soifel bites kaben shal chaveiroi. The father is his kav shaloi, and due to them, where zayin mitzias miyuchad nachmasis bar miyuchad nifla. The famous Gemara in Baba Metzia, a person wants his own kav, his own measurement of fruits, more than 9 kavim of his chaver, and that's why you shouldn't sell it, even if it's rotting away. If somebody gives you fruit, spiritually, it means I can get the 9 kavim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, my friend. But Adam writes a kav shaloi. What we appreciate is your kav. It's your life. It's your mind, it's your heart. Maybe Kav Shaloi, but there's a special preciousness because this was the objective of Matan Torah, to link heaven and earth, to integrate God and humanity. And this is the Avos Yisrael Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai talks about. Sometimes we spoil loved ones. We give them everything. We think it's love. And often it is love. But what we don't give people is the ability to demonstrate to them what they are capable of on their own, not only if they hold our hands. Which now finally brings us to the last point. How did it all begin? Chazal say it happened because they stopped believing that there's reward and punishment. Antigonus said, don't serve God for reward. That means there's no reward. Let's analyze this now in light of all of the above. And this is brought out later in a footnote in this Sikha, in Lukutei Sichas of the Rebbe. What is the idea of reward? What's the idea of reward and punishment? The idea of reward and punishment is, I do something because I want to get a reward. I don't do something because I'm afraid of punishment or vice versa. Reward and punishment represents the idea that I am a passive recipient and my relationship with you is simply about reward or punishment. But there's no essential relationship. Imagine a marriage, okay? Somebody asks a husband, why do you come home at night? And the husband says, I'm afraid of the consequences if I won't come home at night. Why do you buy flowers for your wife? Simple, I don't want her to burn the challah. Why do you do this and this for your wife? Simply, I want her to do the laundry for me. What would that demonstrate? If the entire relationship is based on, I want brownie points, and I'm afraid of punishment, sometimes you need that to motivate you. Sometimes we do things because we're afraid of the consequences or because we want the brownie points. But that's not a relationship. A relationship means you care for each other. We enjoy each other's company. We're partners, or even deeper than partners. We're a tzibur, we're one. Yes, reward and punishment is part of it. But that's not the essence of the relationship. What is Yiddishkeit? How do we understand Yiddishkeit? Is Yiddishkeit about a relationship, or it's ultimately about contracts and reward and punishments? For the tzedukim, who couldn't comprehend that the vision of Yiddishkeit is the kedushas ha'umah, the power of the human being to transform himself or herself and become a cheftza of kedusha. And therefore they can't understand Perish Baal Peh, and therefore they can't understand Yom Tov, and therefore they can't understand Tzibur, and therefore they can't understand the preparations for Shavuos. So what is Judaism ultimately? God is there, I am here, I gotta do it because He's the boss, I want schar in this world or next world. And therefore when Antigone says, don't serve Hashem for reward, what are they hearing? What do you mean don't serve Hashem for reward? So why should I serve Him? Ah, you just want us to continue doing it, not for reward, because you don't believe there's reward. They're not capable of grasping the truth. He's saying something else. Not that there's no schar einonish. Of course there's schar einonish. By definition, if you're connecting yourself to the source of life and the source of goodness, there'll be good in your life, physically, spiritually, this world, next world. But what he's saying is, I want you to graduate from a relationship that's so detached and merge with Hashem. Become partners, become one. That's what Torah Sheva'al Peh is all about. So now let's take the same Mishnah and see how it was interpreted by somebody who was on the opposite extreme of the Tzedukim and the Baitusim when it came to a relationship with Hashem and with Torah. And this is what I want to conclude with, an interpretation of the Baal Shem Tov. On the same Mishnah that the Tzedukim and the Baitusim saw as a free pass to leave, and as the motivation to tell them that there's nothing in this religion for them. And this is the last source in your sources, in the second side of the first page of sources, Degel Machane Ephraim Parshas Kiseitze. The Baal Shem Tov discusses two girsas, two versions in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Antigonus Ishtoiche Kibol Mishimen Atzadik. And what did Antigonus Ishtoiche say? He said, Al tiyu kavadim amasham shem esarav al menas lekav pras. Elo, tiyu kavadim amasham shem esarav shaloy al menas lekav pras. Don't serve for the prize. Serve even not for the prize. But there's another gersa in Mishnayos. On the condition not to get a reward. Which is strange. I can understand telling somebody, don't do it for the reward. But why would I tell somebody, do it with the condition that you don't get a reward? You have to be masochistic. What's the point? This is what the Baal Shem Tov addressed. So he says, to serve Hashem not for the sake of reward is a gavaldik avoid. The hainu kshemispalla leis adavu yi kavanosil tzerich gavoya. You daven for something. Don't only think about yourself. Also think that this is Hashem's need. Ba'adavu asheru mispalla lo bim yavoy yavoy bim lo yavoy lo yavoy v'chein kol avoida sa'adam v'asiyosid yiul l'shem shemayim lo l'shem davar hana asa. There should be such a relationship, there's such a deep relationship, that a person says, my relationship to you is not only based on the fact that you give me a reward, my relationship with you is, I want to be one with you. The Rambam says in Hilchus Tshuva Perek Yud, Oy says, Ta'emes b'pnei shoemes, I do the truth because it's truth. I want to be one with you, I want to be connected with you. It's not, there's no condition here, points. If you do this, I do this for you. If you don't do this, I don't do this for you. You represent everything to me. I want to be one with you. But there's something even deeper. Let me give a metaphor. Somebody's heart is burning to speak to the king. The king made a decree. Anybody who asks any request, he will fulfill his request. His request shall be fulfilled. This person always wants to be in a conversation with the king. They bring him into the king. And the king says, what would you like? Here's the problem. The king gave forth an edict. What's the decree? Whoever asks for something, his request gets fulfilled. Misyari, you know what he's afraid? Pen yitin loy hamelech. Maybe the king will grant him his wish. And his void will be fulfilled. And then they won't bring him in again to the king to speak to him. The relationship will be over. Why? Because the king said whoever asks for anything gets it. He'll come in. He'll get his turn. He'll ask for it. The king says, here, gei gezunta heit, and the relationship is over. So therefore he shouldn't fulfill his request. So he should be able to come back again and again and again. This is what it says in Tehillim. The prayer of a poor man. Before God, he pours out his words. So the question is, a wealthy man doesn't pour out his words before God. So he says, no, the wealthy man, his prayer is, I want this, I want this, I want that. The ani, his prayer is, lefnei Hashem yishpech sicha. His prayer is, I want to speak to you. That's what I want. Whatever it takes to be with you, that's what I want. Pirush, kol atfilah shel ani, hu, shel lefnei Hashem yishpech sicha. V'zeu al menas sheloy lekabel pras. That's what it means. Now, of course, Chas v'Shalom, the Baal Shem Tov is not suggesting that a Jew shouldn't get all the pras in the world and that a person shouldn't receive everything he needs and everything he wants and all of his prayers and requests should be fulfilled. The Baal Shem Tov was one of the greatest advocates of the Jewish people, even from Aleches Eichel Nefesh. What the Baal Shem Tov was explaining was Antigonus' advice to the people. And that is, one level is, don't define Yiddishkeit in terms, I don't want to go to Gehenna, I want to go to Gan Eden, and therefore I put on tefillin, I keep Shabbos, I eat kosher, I learn Torah, I daven Shachas Mincha Ma'ariv, I don't violate Shabbos, I do Sfiras HaOmer, because the brownie cake and the chocolate mousse that awaits me in paradise after I die is worth eternity of pleasure rather than being sent to purgatory. The Antigonus says, don't be that avid. Evolve. Go beyond that. Develop a relationship where the two actually become united, the two become one. Internalize Hashem's will. Appreciate the truth of godliness. Appreciate the truth of Torah mitzvahs. Let it become your thing. Go beyond Schar and Einish. But then Antigonus says even deeper. Altiyu kavodim ha-mishamshim ha-sarav al-menas l'kabal pras, altiyu kavodim ha-mishamshim al-menas shaloi l'kabal pras. What's that? that always in life, your deepest request should be, I want you, and I want the relationship with you, and I want to be one with you. And if that means you're just going to give me what I want and dismiss me, al menas shaloy lekabel pras, whatever it takes that I should be able to be one with you, even if it's al menas shaloy lekabel pras, of course, give him the pras and let him come back to the king. But the point here that the Baal Shem Tov is saying is, al menas, not only shaloy al menas lekabel pras, but al menas shaloy lekabel pras, that his deepest condition is that if something is going to happen and as a result of that, I can't talk to you because I'm going to get distracted by the prize and that's going to overwhelm our relationship because our relationship is about what I need from you rather than you. So then it's compromising the most important thing. It's like, imagine we're very close, but our relationship is ultimately what I need and I get from you. And once I get it, there's no relationship. I don't want that should come in between us. The Tzdukim and the Baitusim could not hear this in the Mishnah, because the whole concept of an intimate relationship didn't apply to them. And therefore the Tzdukim and the Baitusim took this as a sign. There's no consequences, there's no reward, and there's no punishment. And as the Rambam says, they left Klal Yisrael because they couldn't believe Mimacharas HaShabbos means a day after Pesach. It had to mean a day after Shabbos. Have a wonderful week.